Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
10 lepers, 10 are cured, yet only one goes back to Jesus, praises God, and gives thanks. If we're honest, we often have to admit that we're like the 9 lepers. We receive the blessings of God, we receive spiritual cleansing from Jesus, but we often do not say, thank you, Lord.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We often hear, count your blessings. But as followers of Christ, some of the most important reasons that we should be thankful have nothing to do with our circumstances or possessions. Today on The Verdict, we're continuing in Colossians and learning about the implications of our eternal inheritance. Here's Pastor John Monroe.
None of us like to be taken for granted. Even if you are the most generous of people, it gets a little tiresome if no one ever says thanks. We feel taken for granted. I fear we often take God for granted. So I'm encouraging you to be thankful. Thankful to God and also thankful to others. Of course, there are many things to thank God for. Paul writes that we are to give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Listen to the message today with a thankful heart. Don't dwell on the difficulties of life, but allow God to open your eyes to the wonder of what He has provided for you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to concentrate on verses 12, 13, and 14, but for the sake of connection, let's start reading again in Colossians 1, verse 9. Paul writes, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Doesn't Paul write brilliantly? We will see then that we are to thank God the Father for your inheritance, for your deliverance, and for your transfer, to use the words here. First of all, verse 12, thank God the Father for your inheritance. Verse 12 again, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. But there's something else we need to thank God the Father for. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. By nature, we don't belong to the light, do we? To the darkness. All of us are aware of that dark side to us. We're born spiritually blind. Jesus said that we love the dark rather than light because our deeds are evil. We like to operate in the shadows. We like to have our secrets. We like to cover up things. That's human nature apart from the grace of God and the light of God. Remember, our Lord said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you get that? Do you remember when you were first delivered from your spiritual darkness? When we're saved by the grace of God, we have different eyes. We see things differently. Why is that? Delivered out of the power, out of the domain of darkness by Christ Himself. And once that happens, we see things that we never saw before. Delivered out of the darkness by the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Before I was married, I stayed for a short time in the home of an elderly widow. She was attending the church where I started going. She had pity on me. I was staying in a miserable place, didn't have much money. And she invited me to stay with her for a few weeks till I got other accommodation. And she was a very godly woman, an elderly woman. And over an evening meal one time, I asked her. Her name was Mrs. Peterson. I said, Mrs. Peterson, I was 22 years old. I said, Mrs. Peterson, how did you come to Jesus Christ? She had been saved for many, many years. And she told me that she had been saved on one of the small Shetland Islands in the north of Scotland, an island called Bressy. And she said it was quite amazing. As she was telling me the story, her eyesight was going. Soon she was going to go blind. And she told me that the day after her conversion, as a young woman, she had sailed from the island of Bressy in a little boat over to the mainland, the main island of Shetland. And she said to me, John, I'd been on that boat trip many, many times. Really, all of her life, she had made that boat trip. But she said, the day after I was saved, it was totally different. I said to her, what do you mean? She said, it was an incredible voyage. She said, I looked at the sky and I'd never seen it so blue in all of my life. She said, I looked at the sea and it seemed the most beautiful sea I'd ever seen. And now as an old woman, many, many years after that event, which in her mind was as vivid as it had happened yesterday, she quoted to me the hymn that we have in our hymnal, 490, George Robinson's wonderful hymn, which the second verse says this, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen, birds with gladder songs overflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine, since I know, as now I know, I am his and he is mine. And when she passed away, I said to her family and this, and had the privilege of saying a few words at her funeral, and we sang that beautiful hymn. You see, what had happened? Had the sky really changed? Had the waves really changed overnight? No, they were just the same. But now she saw them with different eyes. Everything belonged to Christ. She was saved by his grace. She had been delivered out of the domain of darkness. And she looked around at the very physical world and saw it different. She looked at people differently because of Christ's tremendous deliverance in her life. She had been delivered out of the domain of darkness. Peter says in that wonderful verse, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he talks about being called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We like the light, don't we? And we are saints in light. And we look at things differently, because now we've been transformed by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God the Father for your inheritance. Thank God the Father for your deliverance. But there's a third one here, also in verse 13. Thank God the Father for your transfer. For your inheritance, for your deliverance, for your transfer. He has delivered us, verse 13, from the domain of darkness. Ah, but he's done more than that. And transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Not only do we have an inheritance, not only are we delivered, we have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Literal translation. Into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The Father loves the Son. And in love sends his Son so that we may be transferred into this kingdom. This word transferred that Paul uses here in verse 13 was used when a king removed people from their homes to form a new colony. He transferred them from this region to that region. And when God delivers us, and when God saves us, he never ever leaves us where we are. We were once in the dark, once in Satan's kingdom, once addicted to sin, but now we are in the kingdom of his beloved Son. The Son of his love is also the king, as Paul talks here about the kingdom of his beloved son. The son of his love, of course, is the great messianic king in fulfillment of the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel 7. Now notice, we have already been transferred to, literally into, we have been transferred, we have been delivered out of the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. What a place to be, child of God, that we are in Christ's kingdom. And let me say that there are two aspects of the kingdom. There is a present aspect and a future aspect. When Jesus Christ came at his first coming, the kingdom in one sense has already come. Turn back with me, for example, to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The first recorded words by Mark of Jesus as he begins his public ministry. What does he say? Mark 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled. And what? The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. With the coming of the king into history, into human history, into time space, the kingdom of God has come. But there is also a future aspect of the kingdom. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11, verse 15. This is yet future, obviously. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." A present aspect of the kingdom, the king has come in the arrival into the world of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But there's also a future aspect of the kingdom that we thought of this morning, when Christ comes with power and with great glory. The already aspect and the not yet aspect. Christ has already come, but he has not yet come in the fullness of his power and glory and his open display to the whole world. And it may be that what the New Testament sometimes calls the kingdom of Christ may refer to the present aspect, and the expression the kingdom of God may refer to the future aspect. For example, turn to 1 Corinthians 15 to see this very quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, the great chapter of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, he's the first one raised from the dead. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he, that is Christ, delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. Now, has every rule and every authority and power yet been destroyed? Answer, no. But one day they will. And the Son will do that. He will destroy every rule and every authority and power, and then will deliver the kingdom to God the Father, the future aspect of the kingdom. And so we pray, thy kingdom come. We look forward to the future millennial kingdom when Jesus Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the earth for 1,000 years. But with the coming of Jesus Christ as God incarnate, the kingdom of God in one aspect has come. Christ presently reigns in the hearts of his people. He reigns presently in his church as the head of the body. Where Christ rules, where he is obeyed, there is his kingdom. And Paul is saying, back to Colossians 1 verse 13, that when you were saved by the grace of God, you were not only delivered from the domain of darkness, but praise his great name, we have been transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This present kingdom, then, is an invisible kingdom over which Christ presently rules. That rule, that kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of his beloved Son, is not obvious to the world. But now, Jesus Christ, the King, voluntarily calls on us to obey to him, to submit to his rule, to acknowledge in every aspect of our life that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we, as the people of God, are not only delivered from darkness, but we're transferred to his kingdom. And for that brilliant transfer, we say, thank you, Father. I thank God the Father then for our inheritance, for our deliverance, and for our transfer. But what's the basis of this inheritance? What's the basis of this deliverance, of this transfer, for which we thank God the Father? How are they accomplished? Verse 14. In whom, that is, in his beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Christ paid the price for our deliverance and forgives all our sins. God's beloved Son on the cross paid the price for our deliverance and forgives our sins. And in verse 14 and following, Paul is now moving from what the Father has done to what his wonderful Son accomplishes. First, in Christ, in whom? In Christ, his beloved Son, we have redemption. In God's beloved Son, we have redemption. Redemption is one of the great words of the gospel, isn't it? It's a word which comes from the slave market. The basic idea of redemption is release and freedom on the payment of a price. Why do we need that? Because of Satan. He makes slaves of us all. Slaves to darkness. Captives to Satan himself. And we can't free ourselves, but Christ comes. And he has redeemed us. He's purchased us from the slave market of sin, paying the price with his own blood on the cross. And so, as we sang, there is a Redeemer, and our Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. And just as prisoners of war are freed from captivity when their nation is victorious, so we have been freed from our sin and from our bondage because our Lord Jesus Christ is victorious and has redeemed us. With his blood, he pays the costly price of our sins. God made us, he owns us, and we've sinned, and we've become sin's slave, but now, through the work of his beloved Son, he has bought us back to himself, redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with his precious blood. He gives himself to redeem us. What a redeemer. So in his beloved Son, we have redemption, but also in verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In his beloved Son, we also have forgiveness of sins. Isn't that a sweet word? Forgiven? Surely it is. To think that when God looks down on you and me, he writes that word, forgiven, redeemed, freed, delivered, transferred, forgiven. We have forgiveness of sins. I hope you understand that when we trust Christ for salvation, all of our sins are forgiven by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our transgressions. Christ is the one who has redeemed us. Not only have we been redeemed, not only have we been set free, but our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been sent away. They've been let go. They're forgiven. The power and the authority of sin and Satan in our lives has been shattered. Formerly, we were gripped by sin and darkness. Now we're freed. Now we're forgiven. Because our Lord Jesus Christ not only frees us from the guilt and the shame of sin, but he also frees us from the power of sin. We have been delivered out of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so we thank God the Father tonight for our inheritance, for our deliverance, for our transfer, which were accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, who forgives our sin. G.K. Chesterton said, when it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. What do you do? This evening, don't take things for granted. Be grateful. We, as the people of God, should be the most thankful, the most grateful people on the face of the earth. Tonight, as we close, take a moment to thank your Heavenly Father for your marvelous inheritance. It's kept in heaven for you. For your incredible deliverance. For that amazing transfer to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Thank God for all of His saving acts. And give thanks to the Savior who redeemed you, who has forgiven you. And once again, may we consecrate ourselves to serve Him. And the only way to be delivered from the domain of darkness, the only way to have this inheritance of the saints in light, is to be eternally united with our Lord Jesus Christ. This Christ who has invaded the kingdom of darkness and has rescued us, delivered us, saved us from its power, so that now we're called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let us with great joy give thanks to the Father for all that He has accomplished through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been forgiven? Have you been delivered? Have you been transferred to the kingdom of God's wonderful Son? If not, this evening, receive Him. Believe in Him as your Savior and Lord, and bow before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And with joy, give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray. Eternal God and our Heavenly Father, we do give thanks. We stand amazed at your grace, amazed at your kindness, amazed at your love. May our homes, our lives, always be places of praise, of joy, of thanksgiving, as we praise the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And in whose name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a lesson titled, Thank You, Lord. Stay tuned because John will return with more to share in just a moment. Today's message was a powerful reminder of God's grace and the eternal inheritance we're offered through Christ. And to help you go deeper into these important truths, we'd like to send you a free copy of John's insightful booklet, Eternal Security, Finding Certainty in a Chaotic World. Learn firsthand from John's personal testimony and gain a deeper understanding of why followers of Christ can be assured of their eternal salvation. To download or request a mailed copy of this valuable resource, just visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day, encouraging as many listeners as we can to trust and follow Jesus. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a gift of any amount. To give today, visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're on our homepage, don't forget to sign up for our monthly email list. It's meant to help you stay in the loop on our latest ministry news and exciting updates. Again, it's all at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. You can also connect with us on social media. You'll find The Verdict on most major platforms like Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter when you search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you giving thanks to God? Are you giving thanks to Him for your inheritance, for your deliverance, and for your transfer from darkness into light? I'm thankful that I'm in the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Are you? Jesus says that unless you're born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So, place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. Live a life of praise and you'll experience the joy of the Lord. Don't miss next time as we focus on the magnificence of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.